Shall we come to our final thinking about this wonderful theme which has engaged our attention this weekend, summed up in this overall theme for the afternoon of citizenship. If you noticed the words, and we're not going to look at many scriptures, but the ones we're going to look at, we'll look at carefully. If you'd like to have Hebrews 11 for a moment, open. We all know the chapter so well that no one can teach us anything, but still it's nice to go through it again. If you noticed the words that lie there in verse 16, but now they desire a better. You notice the word country is in italics, it's not there. The translators put it in an endeavour to convey something, but it's just a better. So you can make the choice, that's it, that's what life's about. God doesn't pretend there isn't another country, there is. But he's offering a better, that's all. And we can be wise men or fools. You see, in the preceding verse there, where it says, and truly if they had been mindful of that from whence they came out, the word country is not there again, they might have had opportunity to have returned. The revised version says they would have had opportunity. Once you start thinking about the wrong thing, you'll find opportunity to do it. That's certain. Because the mind is so inventive, it will find its way back to the other place. But this is a better. And what a marvel. It says God isn't ashamed to be called their God. Ask yourself the question about this weekend. Supposing your God had been like you this weekend, could we have worshipped him this morning? Would you have worshipped him? That's the question. It all boils down to the simplest possible understanding, doesn't it? Right? And God says, I'm not ashamed. Oh, Jesus says earlier in the same book, I'm not ashamed to call them brethren. He's got good cause to be ashamed with the lot of us. He could pick us up in one small pan and blow us away and start again and miss nothing out of all the millions of people, but he doesn't. He esteems us as something of which he is not ashamed. No, of whom he is not ashamed. Now notice the promise that lies at the end of that verse 16, which now helps us in this matter of our citizenship. He will prepare for them a city. No, he hath prepared for them. It isn't something that's going to be established. The kingdom of God on earth that is to be established in Jerusalem is a manifestation of something greater that already exists in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the city in all its parts. He's its foundation, he's the walls, he's the gates, he's the glory, he's the temple, he's the light. But to be a city, you need a multitude of people to walk its streets, to live in its houses, to enter in through those gates. And the gates were of one pearl. That's all. One pearl. You look at the record in the book of Revelation. There's only one pearl. There isn't any other. We spoke about it this morning, the few of us together, when we were with the Isolation League young people. There's only one pearl in the end. And that's the pearl, that's the gate. And that's the citizenship of that city that we can enroll in. now in this present life. So there it is. That's the nature of the city. Now come to Psalm 87. Stick a marker in Hebrews there, because we're going to come back to the next chapter, chapter 12, to conclude. Psalm 87. Short psalms sung by the priests. A song. In verse 1 we begin, his foundation is in the holy mountains. This of course refers to Judah and where Jerusalem was, but as we've seen during this weekend, there was a greater than that, another mountain as it were, where Moriah and Abraham and David and Jesus met, and that was the foundation. That's, he is the foundation to this city, and there isn't any other. Everything else is quicksands. This is the foundation that won't move. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. I wonder why. The dwellings of Jacob. And Hebrews says they dwelt in tents, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the record isn't wrong, by the way. It says the heirs with him of the same promise, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's only if you go through the calculations of the years given in the book of Genesis that you'll discover that they all lived together in one place and at one time for 15 years. They were all alive. But they're all in tents. And so there's a difference between a tent and a city. For a city's got foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that was the city to which Abraham was aspiring, of which he was already a citizen. That's the point. And here it's brought out. But where do you come from?
Well, maybe it's Leeds. Or Bradford.
Halifax, perhaps it's Chelsea, or Manchester, or wherever it might be, whichever kind of city. And we've all got a pride about the place from which we come. We can't get rid of it, it just belongs to us, it's part of us. Well, some people said, I came from Egypt. That's this Rahab here in this verse. I'll make mention of Egypt. Some were Babylon. Some said we're Philistines. Some came from Tyre or Ethiopia. Wherever it was, and that was stamped on their passport. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And that's what we're here for. This is the city. We're all born in Zion, finally. If we're going to enter into the kingdom of God, we're not born anywhere else. Otherwise, we can't be citizens of Zion. This is the wonder of the truth that we hold. We had a question last evening, if you remember, about the liaison that might exist between ourselves and other churches. And we discussed it in some detail. Now, the wonder of the truth that we hold is that it is truly international. We haven't got a superior allegiance to the banner of the country from which we come. And if I might get this home to you, because some of us have difficulty with it, I did for quite a time, this matter of ourselves and politics and so on. We are not members of any kind of a political party. Otherwise we couldn't be citizens of Zion. Some will be Labour, and some Tory, and some Liberal, and some Communist. And then we'd all meet together at the breaking of bread and pretend there could be fellowship. And some would come from France and wouldn't think much of the English, or from Germany, wouldn't think much of the French. And none of us think much of the Americans, and the Americans not think much of us. And so this relationship, we don't belong to that. We've been called to one banner in Christ. And all these barriers have been broken down. He breaketh down the middle wall of partition that exists between nations, between political parties, between male and female, between young and old. Every barrier is down and we're all around one flag. That's our citizenship. And that's why we can't have any allegiance of any kind that breaks down that barrier. That's why we don't fight, don't vote. It isn't a negative matter, it's a positive. And once you've seen the banner, and you've seen it in Zion, then you know what your calling is, and you're born again in Zion. Everyone who is baptized believing is born again in Zion. That's the point. I hope that's it's a marvelous thing. Go round about her and mark well her bulwarks and her towers. Walk round the walls and see. This is the city. Great men of Britain, hundreds of them, thousands of them through the years, great men. But the great men of Zion, when they're all gathered together in one place and we see them, you and I with our own eyes see them. There's Noah and Daniel. There's Job and Peter and John, Abraham, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob. They're all here. Abel, Enoch. All round one flag. What a day. And we wanted to wave another flag? Surely not. We wanted to be born in another city to belong to another people. Look at it carefully. The Most High Himself shall establish her. There it is. The Lord shall count when He writeth up the people. One wonders what the word count means there. But let's take it for the moment. A literal counting of 1, 2, 3, 4 of the 144,000 or the numberless host. When God counts, will He include you? Or will you have said to God, include me out? Shall we? I wonder. No, not. Surely when the Lord wants to write up His people, engrave them permanently, not only on the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the shoulders of the high priest, on the breastplate of the high priest, but in the city of God. The foundations have got the name of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ as Himself the chief cornerstone. This man was born there, and there's the word Selah. Think about it, meditate, have a sonic silence to yourself at home. And verse 7, as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs, all my inspiration, everything that I draw on comes from Zion. That's the point. So there's our citizenship. That's the city to which we are marching to Zion, right? Now come to our last reference. It's Hebrews 12. The reference in chapter 11 that we've looked at, which we might as well just cast our eye over once more, just before we make the point in chapter 12, in verse 10 of 11, it says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations." And if you've got a revised version, notice it. He looked for the city that hath the foundations. Right? That's it. It's the one place on earth that's going to stand when everything else falls down. That's it. Why? Because the builder and maker is God, and that word builder is the craftsman. The artificer is God Himself. There's an awful chapter in the book of Revelation, the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, where Babylon falls. You read it. It's filled with a strange beauty and a terrible calamity of all that was in Babylon, every kind of beauty that was there. And it says, "And every craftsman perished." Only one craftsman at the end. The craftsman who made the cross and who fashioned the crown and who works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Oh, make me, Lord, as one of thy hired servants, was what the prodigal son wanted to say. But the parable said, no, I'll make you as a son. And that's it. All the citizens of Zion are brethren. for we be brethren. That's it.
Now turn over to chapter 12, and there they are, all together.
Here it is. Verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion.
In a way, what had happened to Enoch, whether he's alive or not, and it's a marvelous talking point, and we can go on forever until we shall finally discover at the end. And we'll probably all have been wrong on both sides. It'll be something that we've never really understood properly. But here it is, you see, ye are come to Mount Zion. We're there.
In this attitude of faith that we have unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, enrolled in heaven. That's where the register is. We'd like to climb up and see it. Oh, you don't need to climb up. It isn't something that's going to be enrolled at the end. We're enrolled at baptism.
God is as good as his word. He puts our name in at the beginning. Only we blot it out by our folly. God shows his good intent by entering the name in at the beginning. When the books are open, we shall see the names in the book of life and not be entered then. They will have already been entered.
So here is your opportunity for citizenship. And this is the final city. What about it? Oh, well, there it is. It says in the end of verse 26, and on a May day such as this, it's hard to imagine it, with just the burst, the verdant spring here, with the birds now beginning to sing that wonderful chorus that's going to entrance us for the next few weeks, that will begin every dawn as though they're going to burst with song. That just with that first flicker of light in the morning, they'll all be together praising their Creator. Everyone, and you can hear it in town or village or country. They'll sing from every place as one lights up another as the light of dawn comes. And one can hardly then believe in that, that God then says,
yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Which part of Jericho will you be in? That's it. Where will you be in Jericho? In Rahab's little house with the scarlet cord hanging down in the window, having made your witness, having been enrolled in heaven? Or will you be in the rest of the city whose walls will fall down flat? Eh? That's it. When the great shaking comes, Lord, who shall stand when he appeareth? That's the question. What will be on your passport when he reads it finally at the end? Birth. Oh, there it is. He's got his birth down. You can see it. 11th of December, 1932. Not my birthday. Now, I'm not going to do that. That's what little boys always do, isn't it? When's your birthday? Mine's on Tuesday. You know, well, not that. What will be on your passport? What birth? What place of origin? What likeness on the passport? Nearly everybody sends their passport photographs back. My colleague at the office did it only this week. He said, that's not me. I didn't like to tell him it was. However, he had it all done again. He looked better at the end, I think. But there it is. There's only one likeness. It'll be the family likeness on the passport that will bring us into the city. It won't be the birth by our earthly parents. It will be the date when it will have been stamped by the Home Office in my Father's house, our many mansions. And it will be underwritten of the Lord himself, I am not ashamed
to call him brother. And they'll say, pass, friend. Enter through the gates into the city.